Here we go. It is the final hour of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. Coming up, it is finally over. Terry McLaurin signs with the Washington Commanders, and Trey Hendrickson agrees to a deal with the Bengals. So now we're just waiting on Micah Parsons and the Cowboys. We will talk about that in mere moments. And then coming up in 20 minutes, more on the Terry McLaurin contract situation with Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show here in D.C. at the Team 980. Donkster Best Bets coming your way in just 40 minutes. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium. You can check us out on BallySportsLive.com and the Bally Sports Live app. Oh, man. I am so glad this story is done, because we cover the Commanders here in D.C. Denton does all the time. I'm doing it all the time. We've talked about it here on this show. And then yesterday, I was chatting with Joe O and Sammy P on BetSweat, so we thought, this has got to get done soon, right? And then right after that, it does. Terry McLaurin signing with the Commanders. Three-year deal worth $96 million, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network says Terry is getting a signing bonus of $30 million. So at first, this was a holdout. Then it was a hold-in. And Terry was kind of lurking around the practice field in his hoodie. You knew he wanted to be out there. And we don't have these specific details yet, but it looks like both sides finally decided it was time to come to an agreement.
Yeah, and they kept their sanity in the process. Like, see, it can be done, Dallas Cowboys. You don't have to come to personal blows between the owner and the player that you're negotiating with. So I feel like this is a great way where both sides kind of had some things go their way. With Terry McLaurin, obviously he got his deal, and, you know, they went over the details where you were talking about this, where the ownership didn't want to just be like, hey, okay, we'll give you whatever you want. You've been a great player for us. We know you've been here through the bad times and the good. You still have to look at the books over the next five years. And you can't just be handing out money, because that's how you give out bad contracts. And Terry McLaurin is not a young pup like he used to be. So who do you think the winner is of this? Like, is there a winner and loser? Or do you think both sides like came out of this looking pretty good?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it, where, I mean, we don't have the details as far as guaranteed money goes. I feel like if Terry was trying to get more than DK Metcalf, I don't think that's something the Commanders were going to do, and that's been reported numerous times. I feel like he didn't get to that level. But ultimately, this was enough for him to re-sign. So I feel like, ultimately, once we look at where this ends up being, when we take all the factors into account, my guess it would be around $28 million per. But I think this is just a win for both sides. This is just part of doing business in the NFL. I think the strange thing here is that it hasn't been a part of doing business with the Commanders in such a long time. Like, this is just a new era for this team and this franchise, be it with the ownership or Dan Quinn or Jaden Daniels. And because of that, because things are run in a way in which we're not accustomed to, that, you know, things like this, which weren't really a part of the franchise's recent history, are something that we're having to grow accustomed to. Like, yeah, this is business in the NFL. You have a star player. He wants to get paid, and so this is part of it. It makes you nervous. You get worried about it. Maybe it plays out longer than you want it to, but in the end, it usually comes together. And it's also what happens when you have a front office that knows what it's doing. Like, I always wanted Terry to get paid. There's no question. But I did not want it to be at the sacrifice of building something, because Terry deserved his money, no question. But also to a point, because you're looking at a team now with a franchise quarterback that is trying to win championships, as opposed to being a team that, maybe they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's kind of champagne problems, the fact that, like, the time is now.
Yes.
Like, that's why he had some leverage, and that's why there were negotiations in this, because the Commanders know that this is their window to win championships. Mm-hmm. I know Jaden Daniels is still very young, but the fact that he is still on a rookie deal is so helpful to balance the books for the rest of the team. We've seen it with other teams that go, you know, to pretty great lengths, you know, to maybe playing in a Super Bowl with younger quarterbacks, because you get to pay other people around the quarterback. So that's why Terry McLaurin had some sort of leverage in this. And also the fact that we have used the word security blanket, maybe that's like a little too strong in this situation, but when your number one receiver for your young quarterback, you know, there are question marks surrounding if he's going to stay with the team. That's not great for your quarterback who is hoping to take the next step in his progression this year, and especially with the Commanders team that doesn't have a ton of depth at receiver, this was a big deal for the offense. This was a big deal for the city. This was a big deal for Jaden Daniels as well.
And they don't have a receiver like him, you know? Like you say, okay, you got Deebo Samuel, but Deebo is not a guy who is going to catch a ton of deep balls. That is what Terry McLaurin does. Deebo Samuel is a guy who obviously can run the ball. He's a guy who can catch passes, but he's more of a jack of all trades. He's a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. And then you have Noah Brown, who's still coming back from injury. And that was a bigger problem, too, which started to sort of rear its head during training camp and maybe a little bit during the preseason. But then again, Jaden Daniels didn't throw a pass during this preseason. Like when he actually played, it was just a few running plays. They scored and they got him out of there. And he looked great. But you could see at times during practice where that lack of depth was a real problem, where you just don't, and even now it's a problem. That's the thing, because behind those top three guys, they're still kind of jockeying for someone who's going to step up in that receiver room. So that made it even more pertinent for these two sides to come to an agreement. And also, when you talk about chemistry, yeah, there's no doubt that Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin developed a chemistry, and that's a real thing, where you don't necessarily have to communicate everything because you know each other so well via just small looks. You know, it could be a wink, it could be a look, it could be a word or two. it's really amazing. You're like, how you doing? You know, but I swear to God, I've talked with Smoot about this when we do our podcast together, and how, you know, he and Sean Springs used to play together, and they would talk about how sometimes it was just a look. I was like, tell me about really knowing. So he goes, it got to the point where if we saw a certain alignment or we recognized something on film, I knew it was happening. He knew it was happening. We both knew the adjustments that we needed to make. And I would look, we would lock eyes, and we both knew, okay, this is what we're doing here. And that goes for the offensive side as well, where sometimes you know, okay, you know what this is, right? And you don't have to say anything. So there's a real chemistry there that develops between players that is something that's, it's not really tangible. Like, it's hard to sort of, well, what does that look like? Sometimes you just know, you know, when you're around someone. And so that's something that is, you can't really put a price on that. I mean, you can and you need to, but that's a big part of another reason why the Commanders really needed to sign Terry here. So I'm glad they did.
Yeah, it's like me at Starbucks. They already know my order, you know, because there's continuity there, and they know exactly what I like. So although we will never relate to quarterback, receiver, you know, continuity, like, we see this in every walk of life.
Sure.
Like here on the show, like, me and you have been working together so long that I feel like I can read your facial cues and be like, okay, he's almost done talking, or he's done talking, whatever. So I think you can apply this to anywhere in life, and it's big. So now that it feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, this feels like this was the biggest question mark for the Commanders, and now that it is now a period instead of a question mark, are we ready to put down some money on the Commanders? So, Jenks, let me tell you, let me spin some at you. The Commanders to win the NFC, 9-1. And you know how my brain works, is that I think if you can even get to the NFC Championship game, you got one side of the coin at 9-1, and you've got great hedging opportunities. So what is the ceiling for you when it comes to the Commanders? Are you willing to put some money down on them to win the NFC? Are you willing to put some money on them to win the Super Bowl?
I honestly think they're maybe a year or two away, if we're being honest. The schedule's going to get tougher this year, and they're not going to surprise anybody, because that's a different thing, too. You know, playing Washington in the past, it wasn't an easy dub, but they didn't exactly stand out on the schedule, right? Now it's different, because now they know, other teams know, okay, well, now we have a legitimate team that we're going to have to deal with, a team that's going to be a problem for a long time with their quarterback alone and their coaching alone. I do have some concerns on the defensive side of the football. They got to learn to stop the run, and we didn't see it last year, particularly late in games. Didn't see it really in the preseason. Yeah, I know it's the preseason, but I think it's a real problem. So maybe that works itself out during the season. And also, the NFC is really tough, right? I mean, Eagles, you're talking about the defending champions. The Lions were almost there. The Niners, I'm not necessarily sure I believe in the Niners, but there's no question they have talent. I think the Rams are going to be undervalued a little bit. So with the NFC being so very competitive, I'm not going to be so quick as to say, they made the NFC Championship, now they're going to make the Super Bowl. Is it a possibility? Sure. But also, they're going to face more hurdles than they did in the past. And also, even though you make your own luck, and not the end of every game was luck, everything that could have gone right at the end of games last year went right for this team. And isn't always something that is the case. I think they're going to be very good. A bet I like better is, since we're talking about Terry McLaurin, if you look at his regular season touchdown total, it's set at 6.5. And I just think that's criminally low. I understand Debo is there now, so maybe he takes away some of the touchdowns, and Cliff Kingsbury wants to spread around the football. But Terry had 13 last year. Again, he's the deep threat in this offense, and I can see him getting over 6.5 pretty easily. So that's the bet I really like. I wouldn't mind a sprinkle on the Commanders to win the NFC, but I need to see a little bit more as opposed to a one-season sample size.
Well, if you can't stop the run, that's not great when, like, the returning biggest threat is the Eagles.
Yes.
You know, like, if you can't stop the run, that's not great.
It's a problem.
Get Saquon on that offensive line. Let me ask you this. There's an interesting bet over at BetMGM. You can pick the winning division of the Super Bowl. So the NFC East is 4-1. You get the Eagles and the Commanders. Obviously, there are some other, you know, great options where you look at the AFC West, where you've got the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Chargers, hell, even the Raiders. I know some people are high on that.
Yeah.
But I think the NFC East has two great contenders. Like, maybe look at the NFC North. Like, the more I look at these bets, the more that I am, you know, thinking about some other ones. But do you think the NFC East reigns supreme once again?
It's going to be between, isn't it going to be the NFC East and the AFC West? Isn't that going to be the competition between the best two divisions in football? It feels that way.
Hmm.
A lot of people are high on the Raiders, which is kind of crazy to me. I don't really see that. I will say this. If you're looking at the East, the Eagles are the Eagles. The Commanders are obviously better. I think Jaden Daniels at 7-1 to win MVP might be worth a look, honestly, because he's going to take the next step, especially because he has more tools in that toolbox. And also, I think the Giants are kind of trending in the right direction. They're not going to stun anybody. What I'm saying is this. They built themselves an incredible defensive line, and I think they have something in Jackson Dart. So at least for the first time, they're not going to be an easy out. Let me put it that way. And plus, the Giants always play the Commanders well. They have for years. It's just a tough division. The Cowboys are, you know, what's going to happen with the Cowboys? They're going to be very middle of the road. But I think I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything in the playoffs. But if you're talking about competitive divisions, I think the NFC East might be it. So at 4-1, when you're talking about Eagles Commanders right there, yeah.
I think especially because, like, I'm not looking at the depth of the division. I'm looking at, like, who can truly win a Super Bowl? Like, what top-end talent is there?
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I'm looking at the AFC West, like, the only team that I really can envision winning a Super Bowl is the Chiefs. Like, I still think the Broncos are maybe a year away. Like, do you think Bo Nix wins the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Like, I don't know.
Not yet.
I think
they're getting there,
maybe
though.
The AFC North, because you get the Ravens. Like, I don't think the Steelers can win a Super Bowl. I don't think the Bengals can win a Super Bowl. So maybe
that's what I mean.
You just bet on the Ravens.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I feel like the Bengals still, they've got to do something with that defense, and they just haven't. And Hendrickson helps. There's no question about that. But even with them last year, they weren't great. So, yeah, if you're going to, why grab the AFC North when you can just grab the Ravens instead? Whereas with the NFC East, I think you could make a case for the Eagles. You could make a case for the Commanders. The NFC North, what am I missing there? You know what I feel like? I feel like when it comes to the NFC North, see a lot of people on the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy has not played a regular season snap in the National Football League. And I feel like, I know their defense has been exceptional. They've also been fortunate not to have suffered any injuries over the past couple years. But I'm not banking on a division or a team where I haven't seen your quarterback play a down of regular season football at all.
God, some people would like burn you at the stake for that take. People love J.J. McCarthy.
I know.
Like, Vikings fans love him. So we'll see. I'm like you. I'm still a little skeptical.
Yeah, and look, he may be great, but that's a heavy load to carry. Like, you're immediately going to be great, and you haven't even seen the field yet outside of the preseason. Coming up next, We've given you the nuts and bolts, but now let's bring in someone who is a radio legend here in D.C., Kevin Sheehan, to talk about the Terry McLaurin deal. That is next on The Daily Tip. Welcome back to the show. It is The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, the Commanders lock up Terry McLaurin. But what does it mean for the rest of their season? We're going to bring in the great Kevin Sheehan from The Kevin Sheehan Show here on the Team 980 in D.C. and talk about it. Aren't you just glad this story is over? I know as a Commanders fan, I'm just like, oh, thank God. It's been going on. It's like the Trey Hendrickson thing. My God. Like the Micah Parsons thing. These contract negotiations drag out for so long. And they're fascinating. There's no question about it. But after a while, like how many more things can you say about this guy means a lot to his team and ownership isn't really budging and now he wants to be traded? It's just like rinse and repeat again and again. And on the football field, look, the Commanders needed Terry back, but after a while, you sort of get exhausted with the whole process.
Well, at least this one was like in the world of like common sense and logic. Fair. Like, I like talking about that one way more than what we've got going on with the circus with the Cowboys. Like, every day there's a new Jerry Jones soundbite. They're like, is this really true? Probably not. So at least the Commanders handle this like real world people with common sense and logic. So I will hand it to the Commanders in that sense.
Yeah, they definitely handled it the right way. And the best part about it all is now, with about a week and a half until that season opener against the Giants, we can put this behind us and focus on football. So let's do that and bring in Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, also host of the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Kevin, good morning. We really appreciate the time. And let me ask you, I mean, look, you're a local legend here in D.C. You cover the Commanders again and again and again, going back to the Redskins days. So how glad are you to finally have a little bit of a resolution here for a contract dispute that I don't think anyone thought would drag out for this long?
Well, you know the market, Mike, and it's always about something, you know, all season long. And this was the first summer that you kind of went into with real expectations and no real controversies. You know, there's no quarterback conversation, which is an annual. And it actually, you know, gave us something to talk about for a while. But it did grow very old and tiresome. And I still think there's some stuff left in this. It's going to be interesting to see what this deal really looks like when it comes out. I'm interested in that stuff. I know it's not for everybody, but yeah, it's good to have him in the, you know, under contract. He was going to have to play anyway. There's no possible way he could have sat out at 30 years old on the last year of his deal. And this is going to be a really good football team offensively again.
I feel like people always want to label a winner and a loser of things. Maybe that's, you know, being a part of the sports world. But do you think there is a winner and a loser here? Like, who won these negotiations?
Well, I mean, I think we'll find out when we see the deal. You know, the agent put out the, you know, the average annual and the years, and what was, you know, very much missing and was obvious was the guaranteed dollars, and I think that'll say a lot. But yeah, I mean, I think when you've invested in conversation after conversation to the point of exhaustion, you'd like to see how kind of the movie played out rather than just being told, hey, it happened, it's over. So I'm interested in the details. I think a lot of fans are too. But yeah, I mean, who won, who lost? The team won, the fan base won, because Terry's going to presumably play in a much sort of happier environment for him. Hopefully he feels like the deal he got was respectful and appreciative of what he is as a player and what he's going to provide going forward. And you know, again, I think he was going to play anyway. He was going to have to, but this is a much better situation for the team, the fan base. I think they're going to be really good on offense.
Kevin, can you sort of put in perspective for the national audience here what Terry means to this franchise? Because it's different than a Micah Parsons. It's different than a Trey Hendrickson, because those guys are, not that they aren't loved by the fan bases, but it's really about production. And here, it's a little different with Terry because he stuck with this team before the change in ownership and really the change in this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think Terry, first of all, is a really good wide receiver. Secondly, he's been a really good statesman for this franchise, spokesperson for this franchise. He's comfortable that way. He is not the typical receiver. He's the anti, you know, typical receiver. There's no diva in him at all. And during these very dark years, and you're familiar with them, you know, he was certainly one of the brightest lights. But I think it was hard during some of those years to see anything great, you know, through the last, you know, three or four Snyder years, where all of the focus was pretty much on what was going on off the field more than it was on the field. But Terry is first rate, first class, a culture setter, and has been a very good player.
All right, so I've noticed a couple times in this interview already, you've said they're going to be really good on offense. Is there a reason you're not saying the whole team? What are your thoughts on their defense?
I mean, last year, they were not a very good defensive team. They were horrific against the run. And it speaks to just how great Jaden Daniels was, that week in and week out, he basically strapped the team to his back and carried them to victories, you know, many times in kind of walk-off fashion. But this was a team that was, you know, porous against the run. They were not great overall in getting off the field. And that's the concern, is they're going to play on paper a much tougher schedule, much better quarterbacks on paper right now, the way it looks. A slew of outstanding running backs and running teams. And they've got to be improved defensively if they're going to match what they did last year, which is have a legitimate chance to go deep into January. And I think that is now an expectation that we're not used to around here. It's been a long time. But the expectation is, you know, double-digit wins and a chance to win a few playoff games and make a run at a Super Bowl. And I think that only takes place if they ended up improving themselves defensively. And I think that there's hope that they did. You know, they added new players. They got bigger up front with Javon Kinlaw. And, you know, I think look at Daron Payne without John Allen this year. I think there's a chance he has a big year in what is almost a borderline contract year for him. But that's the mystery. The offense is not a mystery. They should be great offensively as long as Five's on the field. Defensively, they've got to be better against the run in particular.
We're talking with Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Kevin Sheehan Show on Team 980. Also hosts the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Kevin, you know, I hear this a lot from fans who, you know, are not Washington fans, which is, well, what about a sophomore slump? What about what we saw from C.J. Stroud? Why does that not happen with Jaden Daniels?
I just don't see a flaw, Michael. I mean, he literally, as a rookie, strapped the team to his back and took him to an NFC championship game, the sixth rookie quarterback in NFL history to do it, and the only one to do it where the offense was the reason they got there. And the quarterback was the reason they got there. He throws the ball well deep. He throws the ball well in the intermediate range. He throws the ball with great timing, with great touch. He is obviously one of the two or three best playmaking quarterbacks in the league off schedule as a runner, both as a designed runner, option runner, and then, you know, in a scramble situation. Last year, you know, I'm not sure I've ever seen, other than maybe Vic and Lamar, a better scrambler off schedule. There just isn't anything you can point to. And like, we've talked a lot about it on the show. It's like, what are we going to say this year when he does something that surprises us? Nothing will. That's the answer, is that we're not going to say at any point this year, oh my God, thank God he really improved that, because he wasn't very good at that as a rookie. He was great at everything as a rookie, not to mention just the clutch gene and the clutch factor of delivering over and over again with the game on the line. So, I don't know, Dan Marino's best year was his second year. You look at Josh Allen after his first year of starting, his second year was spectacular. There are a lot of examples of, you know, outstanding rookie quarterbacks who didn't decline in year two. And the truth is, with Stroud, he was decent last year. The O-line struggled. They still won 10 games in a playoff game at home against the Chargers.
Right. Can you make a case for Jaden Daniels to win MVP, though? Because I've heard all the gushing, and I agree with you. Jaden Daniels, so fun to watch. But I think as far as numbers go, you got to have those eye-popping stats. Like last year, Jaden Daniels, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Lamar Jackson had 41 touchdowns and 4 picks, and he didn't even win the MVP. Do you think Jaden Daniels is capable of putting up those type of numbers?
I do, but I also agree with you. Like, I think that there will be quarterbacks ahead of him that will put those eye-popping numbers up, and you're going to have to look at the, you know, entire context of his performance, because it'll be a combination of 3,500 to 4,000 passing yards and 600-plus rushing yards and a bunch of touchdowns on the ground and a bunch of, you know, late game wins potentially if he duplicates what he did last year. But I do think he can win it. We've certainly seen a guy last year. What did he finish, 6th or 7th in the voting, 8th or 9th, whatever it was? He's a candidate. I wouldn't make him the favorite, but he's certainly a candidate.
Kevin, when you look at this team, what's the one thing that maybe worries you the most? Is it the defensive line? Is it maybe the lack of depth at receiver because they haven't really had anyone step up? They want Luke McCaffrey to be that guy, but he hasn't done it. What's the one area where you think, okay, this could be a problem?
Yeah, it's defense. I mean, it's are they going to be improved? Last year, they weren't good enough. It really showed up in the NFC Championship game when Philadelphia could have named their number. The number was 55, but if they had needed 65, they would have been able to get it. And I think it starts with, you know, up front and the ability to stop the run in their front 7. And we'll see, you know, early on. I mean, they're going to get Josh Jacobs in week 2. They're going to get the kid Genty. They're going to get Bijan Robinson early. There are going to be some really good backs that they face and some decent offensive football teams that are balanced. So we'll get an early read on whether or not they're improved. But it's not that I'm majorly concerned. I just think it's a complete mystery. Defense tends to be variable year to year, you know, for no rhyme nor reason. You know, a bad defense one year becomes much better the following year, and you can't really identify sometimes why. Year 2 in this system should help, and additions like Kinlaw and even a guy like Von Miller, Trey Amos is a rookie corner who they have high hopes for in his rookie year. Hopefully the personnel's better as well.
All right, we got a couple minutes left here, but so this will have to be a little tight, but what's the ceiling for the Commanders this year?
The Super Bowl. That's the ceiling.
Ah.
They're good enough. They have the best quarterback in the NFC. When you've got the best quarterback in your conference, you've got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I think that is – I've never been this optimistic in 20 years of doing this. It's always been how can we get to, like, 9-7 and backdoor our way into a wild card. But – they've got the best quarterback in the NFC. You can certainly make that argument, and that's the most important position in the sport, and that gives them a chance to win and win in January.
Check him out as host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, also host of the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. It is Kevin Sheehan. Kevin, great stuff this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I like hearing that. I mean, I try to temper, you know, I try to be realistic. You know, when I look at my favorite teams, and obviously the Commanders are right up there. But, man, when I hear someone who follows the team as much, if not more than I do, someone who has been in D.C. and done fantastic work for years, say Super Bowl, got to admit, get a little tingly.
I've seen this story before, though. Like, I have fallen in love with a team with a really great quarterback, but people said, hey, maybe you shouldn't trust their defense. Maybe their defense has some flaws. Jenks, how many times have I put down money on the Bengals? You know, because it feels similar. You know, maybe the defense isn't the level of bad that the Bengals are like this year and last year. But like that was the handicap on the Bengals for a while. Like they didn't win a Super Bowl. They came close.
Yeah.
But I have been jilted before on really, you know, sexy to bet on quarterbacks with teams that had a few flaws. Because how much of a flaw do you think a bad run defense is? because, like, stopping the run in the NFC, we talked about it. When the Eagles are atop the mountain mm-hmm. and you can't stop the run, that feels like a bad matchup.
It's going to be an issue, but they did sign Kinlaw. Von Miller's here. Okay.
We can fix him.
But also, you know, I will also say that when you look at these preseason results, they held a ton of people back. Like, they just rarely played their starters. So, you know, unlike the Bengals, who played a lot of their starters, the Commanders didn't do so. I'm being on the positive side of things. Was it an issue last year? Of course. Can it get better? Yes. But just for now, since it's the preseason and everyone's undefeated, let's go Super Bowl. Coming up next. Still early in the week, but before we get to football bets, let's go to baseball. Those are coming your way next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Always great to have you along with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Got our best bets coming your way here in just a bit. Before that, how about this? So, of course, the big game this weekend, Ohio State and Texas. And Fox has their big noon Saturday. That's their big pregame show. They also have a deal with Barstool that they have completed. So you will see some Barstool influence, maybe a show within a show or a pregame show on select dates. Dave Portnoy, the head of Barstool. So there was an initial report that Ohio State had banned Dave Portnoy from the stadium because he is a Michigan alum. He has a history of trolling Buckeyes head coach Ryan Day. But now we're hearing from Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports that it's actually Fox itself which banned Portnoy, because they don't want him on the main desk of Big Noon Kickoff, and those normally not on the desk don't appear on the field, so this is a Fox decision. Regardless, Chelsea, I feel like this is not going to end well.
I feel like Dave Portnoy is going to use this for bulletin board material, whether it's true or not, right?
Yep.
Because here's the thing about the internet these days. Like, when people see something that they, like, want to believe, they believe it. Like, I feel like we've all done this. Like, I've seen things on TikTok where it's like, I don't know, it's something about, like, girls who played sports make more money. There is no citation. There are no references. But I'm like, yeah, I believe that because you want to believe it. So I feel like he is feeding this to the frenzy that is the Barstool fans. And, of course, they're going to come for Michigan because it's already a big rivalry. So maybe this is not even true, the fact that, you know, they didn't ban him from the stadium or whatever. But I'm sure people will still believe it. And it will be part of the Barstool lore when it comes to Dave Portnoy.
And also, like, Barstool could totally screw this up. Do you know what I mean? Like, they need to be careful. Because didn't they have a deal with ESPN at one time? And before they even got on the air, that fell through. So if this gets to a point where Portnoy gets out of pocket, then maybe this deal doesn't happen. I mean, who knows? He's going to say whatever he wants to say. There's no question. But I do find it interesting that you have a partnership, and then a guy who heads up the company with whom you're partnering isn't there. It's just, it's interesting all the way around.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Dave Portnoy lives for controversy.
That is true.
And he's definitely going to stir the pot. Like, he's not somebody who's going to sit around and be like, oh, this was a big misunderstanding. No, he's going to use this to his advantage. And this is why Barstool has been, in part, very successful. Remember when he had that deal with the NFL where he was, like, you know, crusading against Roger Goodell and for Tom Brady? Saying, free Tom Brady. Like, he made a huge deal of that for content. And I bet he's going to do that again.
No, that's exactly right. You know he is. Well, oh, by the way, quick update. So I lie down last night, and then I get a text. I'm like, who's texting me? And it's my friend Sarah, and Sarah is my friend, whom I love, but she was the girl who had us face value tickets and didn't. I'm not in love with her, but longtime friend. So she's like, she had us the face value tickets, and then she didn't have them. And then last night I get a text. She's like, so I just happened upon 4 face value tickets for Texas Ohio State. I'm like, Sarah, oh my God.
She needs to buy your flight, right?
But
like,
yes,
the only way you make it up to me is buy my flight and find me a hotel. Go.
And now I can't make it anyway. We're doing a live podcast for the Commanders on Friday night here in D.C. So that's locked in. I can't back
stupid
out of that.
Work.
So what am I going to do? I'm like, now, Sarah? I mean, God. So it's fine.
Just say fine. When Texas makes it to the national championship, do not ghost me on that.
No.
You need to come through in the clutch because you've got to make it up to me.
I am going to do that. I'm like, hey, I need you to start reaching out now. Okay?
Mm.
Oh, my God. Will I look at last-minute flights? Yes. Okay?
I consider it yes.
Yes, absolutely. I will, actually. But I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. That's my controversy. Not banned from the stadium. Mm. Coming up next on Bet Sweats. Bet Sweats. Somebody on the show yesterday, Sammy P, previewing the Lions, giving their favorite college football playoff bets. Michael Felder from PFF joins to talk college football at 10 o'clock. Then Will Brinson will be along at 11. Chelsea, your bets have been very good. I don't want to jinx you. So let's continue with these very good bets.
Time to place your bets.
All right, best bet of the day is going to be on the Chicago Cubs on the road at the Giants today. So the Cubs are a palatable price of -140 today on the road at San Francisco. And look at the pitching matchup here. Justin Verlander has had a season to forget. He's 1-10 with a 4.72 ERA. And although he has had some decent starts sprinkled in, last start was not one of them. Gave up a 7 spot to the Padres in 4 1/3 innings of work. And plus, his offense doesn't give him a ton of run support. San Francisco is not known as a good offense. In fact, they have the 8th worst WRC plus in the big leagues. And then you compare him to the Cubs, who I know have had lulls in their season, but still the 6th best overall WRC plus. They have a good lineup, and plus Matthew Boyd is pitching today. One of their better starters this season, ERA of 2.61. So I think even if Justin Verlander looks like his old self and has a decent start, the better offense here is still the Cubs. So yeah. I don't trust the Giants' bats. I trust the Cubs way more. And plus, they have been good in this spot as favorites, a cash cow, 59-33 this year. Plus, they have a winning record on the road, as opposed to the Giants, who somehow have a losing record at home. So let's go with the Cubs here. The better team, the better offense, better starting pitcher this year. Let's go Cubs at -140.
Okay. Man, I love that bet. I am all over that. Love that price, too. So nice job finding that, Chelsea. I'm going to go back to the well here. Blue Jays. Oh, it's pricey. -160 hosting the Twins. It's expensive. Don't care. Chris Bassett going up against Bailey Ober. Chris Bassett at home this season has been a wunderkind. He has been so much better than he has been on the road. Listen to these numbers. 8-0 in Toronto, a perfect 2.73 ERA while going 8-0, undefeated. That's compared, again, to his struggles on the road. But then he gets to face Bailey Ober, who has an ERA over 5. When Ober takes the mound, the Twins have lost 11 consecutive games. If you like the run line at plus money, I think that's a good bet. You can get that at +125 at BetMGM right now. I'm going to take this Blue Jays money line, -160. A little pricey, but man, Twins after the trade deadline have been an absolute mess. Also going Diamondbacks Brewers over 8. Found it at -130. Played this down from 8 and hook. You might be able to find it at -120 if you look around. You've got Brandon Pfaadt going up against Jacob Mizorowski. Brandon Pfaadt, not great on the road this season. 4-5, 6.50 ERA. Now he has to face this Milwaukee lineup. Best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. Mizorowski has been very good. There's no question. But he's 4-2, a 4.19 ERA. And let's not discount the bats that Arizona has, particularly at the top of that order. They can hit. And Mizorowski has struggled more recently. I think he's kind of getting worn out from the rigors of his first season in the majors. 7 runs in his last 7 1/3 innings. That covers a span of 3 games. Overhit yesterday. I think it hits again. And plus, that Arizona bullpen is really bad, so the Brewers could always tack on a couple late. Let's go over 8. -130. And Chelsea, I will not reiterate the great points you made, but I'm also on the Cubs at -150 or -140, even better price. Yeah, you got Justin Verlander on the mound for the Giants, but he's had a disappointing season. So let's go Cubbies.
Go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs, go.
Oh.
Have you heard that song? The song that they play at the stadium when they win?
I don't think I think I have, but I haven't paid much attention to it. Would you like to sing it?
Well, I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but I will say it's one of the catchier songs in the big leagues, I think, when a team wins a game. Like, I'm sure that New York has something that's cool as well, but obviously I've been to some Cubs games, so a very cool song. You need to listen to it.
I do. By the way, oh my God. So Denton jumped on the old information superhighway and found that I can go nonstop. Yeah, well, I'm so hip. I am so hip. And, oh my God. Nonstop to Columbus, $645 at 8:22 in the morning. No thanks.
But you got free tickets.
I got face value tickets. Great. Maybe. Maybe. I will look.
Face value. Okay.
All right. All right. Well, yeah, that could be expensive too now. Okay. We got to talk to Sammy P, but first, let's bring in the doctor.
I can't believe Justin Herbert is dating Madison Beer. I've been watching her videos for so long.
Sure you have.
That's creepy.
I can't tell you how many days I've spent watching video after video, working myself into a ladder.
Doctor, enough.
But then I turn on Bet Sweats and Sammy P always brings me back.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but I'm glad he's helping. You have a bet?
I do. Squad play. Cubs, -150 against Barry Bonds and the Giants.
Okay. A lot wrong with that. Everything right happens when we bring in Sammy P, though. And there he is, ready to go on Bet Sweats. Good morning, Sammy P.
Chelsea, how does he feel about Texas? Is he all the way there yet? Does he think they're going to win Saturday?
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Jenks?
Mm-hmm.
Your co-host?
Well, he's right here. You can ask him.
Yeah, but I need your opinion and your situation or your addressing of the situation, because he's a mental pretzel right now around Texas.
That's true. That's very true.
I don't think he's in a mental pretzel at all. I'm pretty sure he's very high on Texas to win the national championship. Yeah, am I wrong, Jenks?
It's a tough one.
Should I just talk for you? Is Jenks splaining?
I will say, well, I think Clemson is a real threat. That's kind of my sneaky favorite for the national title. Do I think Texas can win it? Yes, but I do think they're going to beat Ohio State. I'm taking Texas on the money line.
Let's go.
See?
Let's go.
I mean, we got there.
Yeah.
We got there.
Listen. They're like, oh, it's Arch. Yeah, Arch has played more than Julian Sayin. Oh, don't even get me started. Thank you, Sammy P. He got me all fired up. That's it for this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. For Chelsea, I'm Jinx. Have a fantastic Tuesday. We will see you bright and early tomorrow, 6 a.m.